Hello and welcome to Pathfinding with Beacon. I'm so excited to come your way again today. I'm your host, Damilola Odukoya, a certified coach and professional counselor. Today we'll be talking about the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is a huge data bank that contains a lot of data. It's that part of your mind that stores everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. All that you've ever seen, all that you've ever heard, all that you've ever thought about, your beliefs, your experiences, your memories, your skills, everything is stored up in your subconscious mind. Like I said last week, the image of the iceberg is typical of our mind. The iceberg, what you see on the surface of the water, above the water, is just about a fragment, just a fraction of what is actually under the sea level. And this typifies what our mind is like. So the conscious part of our mind that we are aware of is just 10% of our mind. The subconscious makes up the remaining 90% of our mind. And the subconscious mind is so, so powerful. It is powerful and self-controlling. Now, the conscious mind is that part we know of. This is the one that controls our voluntary actions, our voluntary thoughts, and all of that. But you see, the subconscious mind works many times harder than our conscious mind. The subconscious mind is the one in charge of our involuntary actions and responses. And it's kind of like automated. It more or less like has a mind of its own. So it's not something we are consciously in control of. Now, to gain access to the subconscious mind, many times you will need the help of a professional. But it's not that you can't gain access to it. It's just that if you don't have the skills to, you may not be able to access the information. And this information you cannot exactly access many times is responsible for most of our reactions and actions throughout the day. It controls the things we do without thinking. It controls our response to things, the way we respond to the external stimulus that comes into us. It is also a filter for the mind. Like I said last week, a lot of information hits our mind every second. They are all stored in the subconscious mind, but the conscious part of our mind is the one we are aware of. For example, you are aware of what you are hearing right now. That's the one that your subconscious mind has permitted to enter into your consciousness. There are many other things in your environment that the stimulus, the information is entering into your subconscious mind, but it's just storing it. It's not making you conscious of it. And that's why until a particular color is brought into your consciousness, you might not know how much of that color really is in your environment. Then when it is brought into your consciousness, like say for example red, all of a sudden you begin to see all the red things around you, and it seems like, oh, there's so much red around me. But before then, it was in your subconscious, was entering those colors. You were seeing them in your subconscious, but you know, your conscious mind did not take note of them. So that's really how it works. Your subconscious mind stores this information. They are not lost on your subconscious mind, but your conscious mind is not exactly aware of them in the present. Another thing about your subconscious mind is that it supervises your programming. Remember that it stores memories, it stores experiences. So it's the reason we act the way we act. It's the programming enters into our subconscious mind, and our subconscious mind plays it automatically. Now, our brains are lazy. The human brain is lazy. And that's not talking about one person's specific brain, it's talking about all human brains. The human brain does not want to have to think of what it must do. It likes to go back by an existing program. That is, it likes to go by something that has already been programmed into it, something that it has done before. So it will do it exactly the way it has done it before. You can take note of this. You will find out that every day when you brush your teeth, you start from a particular side of your mouth. And you will do that every day, except you consciously change it. So that's how the subconscious mind works. It works such a way that if, when you hold your brush, you automatically put it into either the left or the right side, whichever one you are used to. And that's why we say we are used to this. This is the way I do my things. We are creatures of habits because our subconscious mind likes to thrive on its programming. So except you consciously decide to change the way you think or the way you do things, you will continue to run the existing program. Another thing is that our subconscious mind is older than our conscious mind. So before a child is conscious, the subconscious mind is working already. And that is why even birth trauma, some things that happen when a child is born, can determine his responses to some things later in life. Not that he can exactly remember the experience, but once he had that experience, the subconscious mind made some derivations from the experience and stored it somewhere. And that's why even the things that happened to us before we became conscious, before we knew ourselves, they govern the way we think, they govern our beliefs about ourselves, they govern the way we react to people, and all of that. Because your subconscious mind is older than your conscious mind. Your conscious mind is not fully developed until you're around 10, thereabouts, 12, some people say. But your subconscious mind begins to work earlier than your conscious mind works. And your subconscious mind is also the seat of your responses. I'm sure most of us have heard about the fight or flight response of the reptilian part of the brain. This is controlled by your subconscious mind. And that's why once some information hits you, you find out that immediately the subconscious kicks in and you begin to, it's like you brace up to fight or you begin to look for the nearest escape. Those are the functions of your subconscious mind. It now takes consciousness for you to now calm yourself down that, no problem, no problem. And you know, now calm down consciously. So this is how powerful the subconscious mind is. Now, knowing the power of the subconscious mind, how can we help it? Because it's the seat of our belief, and most of our negative limiting beliefs are seated in the subconscious mind, and it is more powerful than your conscious mind. That's why even though you know you should not do some things, you find yourself doing it automatically. I mean, that's why a lot of us can identify with what Paul was saying in Romans 7 when he said, the good I will, I do not, but the evil I will not, that I do, because the subconscious mind takes over. So how can we help our subconscious mind not to go by its negative default programming? The first thing we need to do is make sure you feed your mind with positives. Create a positive environment around your mind. The truth is that your mind cannot deal with negative. If you say, I will not eat sugar again, for example, your mind does not reckon with the not. What your mind, your subconscious mind reckons with is, I will eat sugar. And that is why you will continue to eat sugar. Self-determination does not help easily until that determination enters into the subconscious mind. When it is still at the level of the conscious mind, you will not obey it. As far as that thing has become an habit, you will not obey it. That's why I say old habits die hard. So you need to understand that it is when you want to, your subconscious mind to do something, when you want it to take a particular kind of programming, state it in the positive. Do not state it in the negative. I will not cheat again. No. You say, I have stopped cheating. So you put it in the positive because it cannot understand the word not. You have to put whatever you're trying to get your subconscious mind to do, put it in the positive. This is very, very important. Okay. Also, practice gratitude. Your subconscious mind thrives on the feedback it gets. So you can reinforce a particular thought pattern and, begin to reduce the effect of a thought pattern. So if you find that you are negative in your thoughts, you are not happy and all that, it is important that you begin to practice gratitude. In order to also empower your mind to try, to see possibilities, to open up, to take risk, it is important that you practice gratitude. And what is gratitude? It's being appreciative of your little successes, rewarding yourself for your little successes, saying, oh, I did well. And also thanking God for how far you have come. So in practicing gratitude, you need to be grateful for what you have. You need, even though it may not be what you want, but for that which you have right now, you need to be grateful to God. So you need to thank God for your life. No matter how terrible you feel, thank God you are alive currently. And also, I would like to encourage us to practice gratitude journaling. This talks about at the end of your day, or maybe early the next day, thank God for all the things that you're thankful for. So some people write it down. I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. And it could be everyday things. It doesn't have to be something grandiose. It could be everyday things. Then in the morning as well, you can look for things to be thankful for. Oh, I thank God for life. These things have a way of sending positive vibes to your subconscious mind in order to position it for more things that will make it more grateful. Okay, so this is the way the subconscious mind works as well. It has a lot of information and so can do a lot of analysis. Now, your job is to find out what you want in life. What does God want you to do? These are the parts you have to fill. How is not in your jurisdiction. If not, your mind will start wandering in all sorts of directions, plotting and trying to plan. No, planning is good, but at times our mind can run riot. It can run in too many different directions, and then we lack focus. So get the what and focus on the what. The how will begin to take shape because the how is not solely dependent on you. The what you have control over, but the how you may not have control over. And at times when we are trying to gain control of how we can arrive at our what, we suffer what we call analysis paralysis. So you begin to see all the ways through which it cannot work. Oh, what if this will not happen? I don't have this. And that is you trying to figure out the how. Concentrate on the what. This is the kind of life I want. Define it. So define your what. And then begin to collaborate with others to bring about the how. You collaborate with God because God is also a player in the affairs of your life. So collaborate with God and other significant people in your life to bring about the how. But the what, you need to first settle the what, define it, and then trust for the how. So this will eliminate, like I said, analysis paralysis, which is one of the things the subconscious mind can do for you. Surrender yourself with the right company. And when I say this, I don't just mean people, I mean materials, the images you feed your mind with, the words that you hear, and all of that. These are your company, not just the people around you. So surround yourself with the right materials, books, tapes, audios, everything around you. Make sure they are the right material for where you are going to in life. And also give your mind less free time. Some of us give our minds way too much time to wander around. You need to fill your mind with the right things. So you find that when you are not exactly thinking of anything currently, your mind begins to give you suggestion of things to think of. And it can be wild. At times it's very negative. At times it's very irrelevant. At times it makes us worry about what we have no business worrying about. So how do you give your mind less free time? Ensure that you have inspirational materials around you. Play songs and messages that will inspire you, that will keep you motivated, that will keep you thinking positive. If you have recorded affirmations, listen to your affirmations and all that. Ensure that you fill your mind at all times. Don't just leave the mind to wander on its own. If you leave it to wander on its own, it becomes a fallow ground and anything can go on it. So make sure you sow the right seeds in the field of your mind.
Thanks once again for listening to Pathfinding with Beacon. For your counseling, coaching, and questions, you can reach us through our Gmail address, pathfindingbeacon@gmail.com, or you can WhatsApp this number or put a call through to +234 81 22 70 6316. I come again with the number +234 81 22 70 6316. Thank you very much. Until next time, keep shining. Bye.